Would you pray with me? Holy God, we've heard your word, a very familiar word again. And we pray that our hearts and minds might hear the good news of it as if it was for the first time, and that we truly understood what it meant, that our lives may be enriched, nourished, and strengthened, and that our faith in you may become complete trust. This we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. One announcement I didn't make, which I need to make, is kind of a little bit of confusion in an email that I sent out to you. The services for Ed Goret Sr. will be at 2 o'clock today here at the church. 1 o'clock is kind of for the fire department down at the funeral home. Martha Berry was a lady with a vision to help children. She began a school for poor children. She had no books, no building, and no money. But she had a dream. And she went to Henry Ford to ask for a donation. Mr. Ford reached into his pocket and gave Martha Berry a dime. Now, most people would have been insulted. Here is a multimillionaire, and all he could give was a dime. But Martha took that dime, bought a packet of seeds, planted a garden, raised a crop, and sold it. And with the proceeds, brought more seeds. And after 3 or 4 harvests, she had enough money to purchase an old building for the children. She returned to Mr. Ford and said, "Look at what your dime has done." The man was so impressed that he donated $1 million to Berry School. Eventually, Berry School became Berry College, and now is known as Berry University in Rome, Georgia. I know about this school because my mother-in-law attended Berry School for high school before attending Naval College. Martha Berry had a dream of providing a school for poor children and the children of tenement farmers. It's amazing what people can do when they have a dream. And I'm not talking about dreams like we have at night, although those can have a great impact on our lives as well. But I'm talking about the dreams we have during the day. The dreams that we have when we're thinking about changing something in a positive way. Think of the prophets that we read about in the Old Testament. They had visions. Visions of how things could be, and they worked to make those visions a reality, even at times at a great cost to them. Today we think of the saints, and I'm not thinking of just what I call the named Catholic saints, St. Anthony and all of those, but those saints who have touched the lives of people in loving and faithful ways. Often, they had a dream. A dream of how things could be a little different, a dream of how things could be better. And they worked to those ends. And they made a difference. Maybe not for a lot of people, maybe for only one person. But for that one person, it was big. They did not follow the status quo. The author, Irving Stone, has spent a lifetime studying greatness, writing novelized biographies of such men as Michelangelo, Vincent van Gogh. And he was once asked if he had found a thread that runs through the lives of these exceptional people. And his response was, "I write about people who sometimes in their life have a vision or a dream of something that should be accomplished. And they go to work. They are beaten over the head, they're knocked down, vilified, and for years they get nowhere. But every time they're knocked down, they stand right back up. You cannot destroy these people. And at the end of their lives, they've accomplished some modest part of what they set out to do. The thing is, that kind of thinking takes faithful imagination. It takes an imagination to get above how things are, or how things have, the way things have always been done, and to see something different. We get a sense of this imagination in our passage from Revelation when we hear, "And the one who was seated on the throne said, 'See, I am making all things new.'" I'm making all things new. The work of God in the world is a work of imagination. Things do not have to be the same. Things will not be the same. And the saints are the ones who are busy with the work of holy imagination. However, we have to allow time for the work of holy imagination. It doesn't just happen as we're speeding through our daily routines. We have to spend time with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God cannot make new things in our lives or in the lives of anyone else until we open ourselves up to it. One of my favorite preachers in the country today, Reverend Barbara Brown Taylor, writes about how and why we do not spend time developing a holy imagination. She writes, "We are all dreamers, but dreamers have fallen upon hard times. We belong to a people whose sense of reality is much more limited. We have been schooled in science and philosophy. We have learned to trust that what we can handle and prove. We have been taught to think, not to dream, and we have lived long enough to watch many of our dreams die hard. Only saints and children still believe their dreams will come true. The rest of us are adults who know the difference between fact and fantasy. Our dreams rise to our lips and we tamp them down again, remembering how often we've been disappointed by them, reminding ourselves that there is real work to be done in a real world where dreams cannot bandage a wound or buy a loaf of bread." If you think about it, what we've just been through and we are currently in the midst of is an exercise in holy imagination in our New Beginnings program. What can we do? How can we be the church in a new way? But it's been hard because we want to do the same things that we've always been have always done before because we know those things. As we enter this holiday season, and I can't believe I'm saying that already, I recall my mother talking about the fact every year in the holidays she would say, "We're in a rut. We need to get out of it." But we never got out of it. And the next year she'd say, "We're in a rut and we need to get out of it." But you know, there's comfort in routine. We like what we like. But perhaps this year we can think about doing something different. We can dream a new way of doing things. Things that would celebrate and benefit not only our own families or our own friends, but the stranger as well. Perhaps we can let Hurricane Sandy do that for us. We can open ourselves up to what this season really means. As we think about Advent and Christmas and what they're all about. And we've got something here in our church to help you with that. Wednesday, November 28th at 7:30. That's this Wednesday after Thanksgiving. We're going to have a class entitled "From Darkness to Light: Hurricane Sandy as a Metaphor for Advent." And the following Wednesday, December 5th, we will have a class entitled "Christmas: A Celebration of Presence," P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E. And I hope you will take advantage of those as you do some work with holy imagination. But it's not just an exercise for the holidays. It's holy imagination is a work that we should be doing every day. And it has to be if things are to become new for us and for others. We need to sit on that porch of holy imagination every day. You know, for a number of years, when our family went to Chautauqua, we lived in a small apartment on the third floor, the top floor of 15 Ames. Now, Ames Street is the main street leaving the center of Chautauqua. And there's not a lot of cars on the grounds, but there's a few, and people walking along the street to go out to the parking lot outside the main gate in order to get to their cars. So there was traffic, automobile and foot traffic on our street. And this 15 Ames had porches on all three floors that extended all the way across the front of the building. And we would sit up there, and we would watch the people going, and we would talk. And evening, we would also see the little brown bats coming out of the louvers of the attic across the street in Chautauqua. We love our bats because we don't have to use bug spray. It was a different view of the world to sit on our porch at 15 Ames. We eventually had to leave it because the building was sold and they turned it into condos and we couldn't afford it anymore. James Taylor had a song, Up on the Roof. He said it was a good place to go if you wanted to forget the cares of the world. The porch at 15 Ames was a place to forget, in many ways, the world, but also to think about the world as we look down with a different view. A place to talk, a place to knit, to think. I don't think I've ever had a place like that porch before or since. Of course, it helped that the people at the other apartment on the same floor as us never used theirs, so we had the whole porch to ourselves. But that porch was real. But I think we can and we need to create for ourselves spiritual porches where we get above the weight of the world, the way things are, and allow the Spirit to wing its way into our lives to create something new in us and through us for others. The saints model this in a way as they saw new ways of living and being in the world. And that can only happen if we allow ourselves to be taken out of the world for a period of time. So find time to spend on your spiritual porch and allow your holy imagination to develop and work. Your life will be better for it, as also will the lives of other people. That's the promise of God. And that's the legacy of the saints. Amen.